Yeah, world peace, duh.
Woo. I think we need a content warning for this episode, and I'm not sure exactly how to do those, so this is my best bet. There will be talk of clowns. There will be talk of intimacy. There will be some vulgarity, maybe some situations which could be triggering for certain people. You know, it's intimate and honest, and hopefully that's cool. I mean, be warned. And sorry about all the assholes on the last episode.
They just keep talking. They never introduce the show. I think that's how it ends.
Think from like beginning of clown class, third clown class.
Hi, Anna.
Hey, hi, Ellen.
To end of third clown class.
You identify as a comedian?
A clown, I would say.
To end of Monday night.
Oh, whoa. Before we get too far ahead of
this
ourselves.
This is getting a little bit out of hand.
Yeah, I took a clown class with Anna Thompson, the comedian and clown.
A clown, I would
I'm
say.
I'm going to have that conversation on here now. We're going to talk to a woman. I met this woman, as of yet unnamed, at one of Anna's workshops. Felt like I should tie these things together. We ended up having a conversation one morning, or early in the morning, late in the evening, 3 a.m. after our first date. And this is part of that.
To...
What a wild ride. Sorry.
Is that your podcast voice?
My podcast voice? Does she mean my podcast voice? All right, thanks for listening to They Might Be Giants. They just keep talking. That's the name of the show. They just keep talking and they don't stop talking.
You don't know my podcast voice?
Because I listened to your podcast right away when I was like, this guy, I want to know more about him. What's he doing? What's the podcast?
The podcast was the State of the Arts podcast, which I did with some friends, Sergio, Megan, and Isolde, and may do again. But currently, this is the podcast. They just keep talking, and they don't stop talking. Is this my podcast voice?
Oh, that's what he sounds like. Oh, that's what he talks about. Oh, that's how he thinks.
And? Anything good?
Clearly, I wanted to know more.
Thank you. For choosing that course of action.
But if you just want to bang, then let's just get tested. Show each other tests, and that'd be cool.
Damn, I would have got tested. I didn't know that was the thing.
No. Apparently, I'm going to jump in here a little bit more than I thought I was. In about 2 seconds, I'm going to ask this woman why she's sighing so heavily. And I know why this woman's sighing right now. But it's not going to stop me from asking.
What's that deep breath for? Damn, I would have got tested.
Like, there was no thought. It was just like...
I'm aware of getting tested. I've done it.
I feel tense. I will release it.
Why did you feel tense?
I guess because I feel like within this conversation that what I feel comfortable with is not what you feel comfortable with.
Meaning?
You would want to have sex right now, and I don't.
And that makes you tense? That I would want to have sex right now? Is that surprising information?
I didn't think we'd be talking about it this much with the understanding of that I wasn't like, yeah, we're gonna bang tonight.
You did say other things that made me think we might bang tonight.
Yeah, I was trying to clarify that when I said I probably got overexcited when we were making out, and I thought that was understood. So have I been giving you like mixed signals, or
we're still okay not to have sex?
So generous. Oh, we're still okay. Wow.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
It doesn't mean I won't be frustrated or pressure.
So let's just take it back for a second. Let's go a little bit further back and see how we got here.
I think it's a good topic.
All right. And so you don't want to have sex with me, or you do?
Yeah, I do.
That's the bell.
No.
That's not what you're going for? Oh, I get swept up.
Yeah, it's easy. Yeah. That's why I was like, we're gonna fuck right there, because we were just like ready to go, but
fuck
bodies.
Right where?
By the rock.
We're gonna fuck by the rock?
Yeah. We're gonna fuck by the rock.
We're gonna fuck by the rock. Right there. There was a rock, and we were gonna fuck right by it. Like that? But you saved us, right?
Right. I don't know about you, but...
They just keep talking.
Hi, Anna.
I'm doing it. I'm coming over.
Yes, you did it. I want to get back to comedy. Do you identify as a comedian?
a clown, I would say. I think comedian, yes, I guess, but most people think stand-up when they think, and I'm just so far from stand-up that I don't tend to use the word. Sometimes even comedy, people think stand-up.
Well, yeah, I think that's what people identify as comedy, and then they forget that there's sketch, there's...
Yeah, physical comedy.
Physical comedy, there's television, there's, you know, everything.
Yeah, exactly. So I say clown. Obviously, that's confusing for a lot of people who don't know contemporary clowning.
That's so loaded for people. It's so loaded. In the States, as I like to call it.
Yes. Yeah. So then I have to go through the, I don't do birthday parties. I do wear a nose sometimes. I do paint my face, but not as a clown face. I don't wear big shoes, you know. And even physical comedy, I think it's really a bit abstract for people. So people are just like, what does that mean? So until you start talking about, you know, maybe the some slapstick style, like Three Stooges or particular comedians that people know, physical comedians like Charlie Chaplin or,
Well, I was watching the, oh my God, the podcast Limitless or something like that, or it's the three actors who have a podcast and they were doing, it's like Will Arnett, it's the guy from Will and Grace, the guy from Ozarks.
I don't know. I'm quite bad with names.
Anyway, I'm going to re-record this eventually and just put all their names in.
Smartless with Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, and Sean Hayes.
Perfectly. but I was watching their tour of their podcast, so they were like filming it for HBO or something like that.
Smartless on the road when they did their television show on Max.
And they introduced Conan O'Brien as a clown.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Here's how the show would work. They would each bring a guest to a different show. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, one person bring a guest, and the other two wouldn't know who it was. So they got to introduce them. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about Conan O'Brien as a clown, and I was just like, I hadn't really clicked that before. And seeing that, I was like, oh, yeah, he is a clown. That is a very... his whole persona is that. And, like... but it's not in the way that people would think. And so I think that made it easier for me to like be like, oh, like clown is part of my identity, right? Like I think of it as sometimes I compartmentalize it as like, oh, that's something I'm able to do and pick up.
I think you're an absolute clown.
Yeah. When you say it, I'm like, oh, you think so? And I'm not necessarily thrilled.
You're not necessarily thrilled.
But I am thrilled to be identified that way. But I'm also like, oh, yeah. But I'm also happy that you're saying like that because, like, it is true. But it's like when someone sees you, you're just like, oh, hi, who?
Yeah, that's
true. I'm just a regular person over here. Yeah, no, I definitely feel like that is part of my...
well, part of your performance, persona. Definitely, I think the silliness in workshops that I saw from you, I was just like, oh, there's a natural... you don't mind making fun of yourself. You have, you play, you connect with the audience. For me, those sort of things, I was like, oh, here's a, and I use words with so much love, you know, like natural stupid, you know?
Yeah,
that's in that moment of just, ah, yes. You're able to tap into something where if someone's afraid of looking, you know, too silly, then they're not going to be able to access that level of play. So that's what I mean is I was like, oh, yeah, from the first go, I was just like, oh, yes.
That's my freedom. As soon as I can just be like silly and ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, here I go.
Yeah.
Now I'm not like thinking about what people are thinking about me.
Yeah, that's it. That's the great, I could wax lyrical forever about that. The freeing qualities of clown. You know, that's the, and the anti-establishment, the anti, oh, what's the word? You know, you're going against society. No, more like, it's anti what society. The punk,
anti-conformist.
Yeah,
I think that's like sometimes I get the astrology stuff and it's like you don't belong anywhere. I'm like, thank you for saying that because it's definitely how I felt, but also lonely. Why would you say that about me?
But maybe you don't belong anywhere else with like a lot of other people.
Yeah, no. See, this is what was really great about finding your spot because I connected people who are into this world and interested in that world. And I was like, oh, yeah, amongst creatives again.
Yeah.
The pandemic was really hard to come out of, not to bring it up again, you know, finding that way back to be social again.
Yeah.
But that was a great space to just connect with people and connect with you and so many neat people came in through, and like you did so many like
It was really generous of you to just put out those workshops. To just, like, create that space for people to play. And there's a great easiness with the way you do it. And I was really envious of that and also, like, appreciative of it. Because, like, I think we talked a little bit about that. The pressure to sort of convey everything you know.
Oh, man,
and
yeah.
You were able to just, like, back that off.
Oh, that's really lovely to hear, because I think that's always the struggle. I think first and foremost, I've been to workshops where, or more recently I was in a workshop where I was like, oh, I think some of the fun or the play to get people into a certain state is maybe missing here. Mm. Because clown is actually, it's terrifying.
A little.
And not in terms of the terrifying clowns for those listening.
Shout out to my sister-in-law to whom the word clown is terrifying.
Right. I mean, more in terms of because you're being really vulnerable and open and seen. You're very seen, you cannot hide, and that is confronting. So that's confronting for people. But it's also wonderfully silly. So there's this balance. But yeah, we spoke about trying, as a teacher, what I find is wanting people to sort of, I think, get it. Or I had that pressure on myself, and it's just like, okay, Anna, how long have you been doing this for? About 10 years. Right. What did you feel like at the start? Had no idea what was going on. It was really just like hated it and loved it at the same time.
You've been teaching for 10 years?
No.
But in the
clown world, contemporary clowning. No teaching, only for about 18 months.
I'm a baby.
Yeah, very much. So I go away from workshops and have my own sort of like, what worked, what didn't, what do I need to improve, what don't I know, where are these gaps? So that's really interesting. Yeah. I feel very much in that process. But definitely in making somewhere where people feel, if people come out of it saying, I felt, you know, comfortable, maybe not with all of it, but I felt like it was a space, or I felt, you know, safe is a funny word. I don't ever promise that, but some people have said that. So that makes me feel good. Or there was some fun in that, even small moments of that. Then I think, okay, great. There's something here that I'm, yeah. Because it's tricky. And you can run workshops where it's much more fun and games and people are still learning. But if you're looking into exploring clown, you're going to hit up against things that feel tough personally.
Yeah, it is a deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
And it can definitely be hard for people, and the things that come up are like, well, you got to sort of like deal with them.
Yeah, I think if you're not wanting to be, I think I was talking to Emma, Australian Emma, about, yeah. I think everyone has a clown in them, but not everyone is a clown.
Mm.
So I think everyone, if they want to, can do clowning, but not everyone wants to.
No, not everyone needs to.
Not everyone needs to. And so if you're not wanting to be laughed at, if you're not wanting to be really seen, if you're not wanting to be really silly and have a really sort of vulnerable, playful connection with your audience, then why put yourself through that? But what I've found is more and more people are interested, and especially actors who've come from an acting background, they get in a workshop where there's some clown, or they see some clowns, you know, or some clowning in it, and they're like, oh, there's something here. I want to have a play with that.
Yeah.
So I think more people are coming to it through wanting to, seeing the fun in it as well.
I think it's so useful for performers.
Absolutely, yeah.
To step into your, it sort of really forces you to step into your body,
mm-hmm.
into like,
yeah, and presence,
and be, yeah, feel it, and yeah.
And with the audience too, you always have to be listening to your audience, to your scene partner or fellow clown.
Yeah, I think
yourself.
There's something so great about that. I think like we get confused. I feel like watching acting on television or in movies sometimes, you're just like, oh, it's so natural, almost, like, right? Even that is like heightened and stylized, but we sort of get into this belief it's so easy. So there's this desire as like young actors to just be like, let's just take it easy, let's not do too much.
Yeah.
And I think the clown shows you how you can push to the extremes of that and then like control it.
Yeah.
Where it's not just like a wild, but it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like controlled.
Yeah. I think once you take back all the layers and you're comfortable in being seen, then you can definitely then, you're playing with what you have. There's a control with, you're not just standing up there being laughed at, right? You're you're using all sorts of techniques. And of course, this, you know, clown widely varies in people's way into it, in their definition of it. There's anarchic clowns. I've heard LA has a like a very wild clown scene interested in experiencing versus other parts.
I want, please let me know how the LA clown scene is. I will.
Yeah.
Part two. Let's talk about it all night. Whatever the show is called.
Are you done? You want to keep talking?
That was my segued you said to part two.
Oh, we just segued.
Yeah.
They just keep talking. We are back with the woman who has chosen to remain unnamed.
All right, I'll share a story. It's not maybe my ideal.
These don't have to be need to share stories. They can just be like happen to share.
Yeah, but I want like the context.
Yeah.
Like I'm aware of my audience.
Shout out to you, listener.
That's true. All right. Take a break from that. Seems heavy, right?
Right. Got a little
heavy. Let's take something lighter, such as...
I tend to get heavy. I get serious. Like you said, like you're watching my thinking face. It's like...
Oh, we're in the water.
Yeah, I'm always in the water.
But sometimes you're airy.
But people think I am, but I'm in the water always.
Wait a second. In the water? Why do we both so clearly know what I'm talking about, but I can't recall for a moment? Okay, in the water. Look that up.
Okay, Miss Water.
So take a break from that. What? Now what? What else about sex? Tell me about the first time you had sex.
The first time I had sex. I was in high school. I might have been a freshman and or a sophomore.
You did your freshman and sophomore year together.
I did them simultaneously.
Woo!
And then my brother was dating his would-be wife. Are you trying to get me closer? Oh, she wants to hear this one.
Let's
get going.
Yeah.
She's listening.
Right.
Okay, good. All right, so my brother and his girlfriend at the time, my wife.
I might have to ask my sister-in-law not to listen to this.
They had this friend who was also this girl who I knew from school, who had sort of told me that she was, I don't know, I knew she was attracted to me. But I was not necessarily attracted to her.
Like, hadn't thought of her?
Yeah, like, it wasn't just like, oh yeah, I was like, okay. If she's attracted to me, that's interesting. So, for some reason, we went to her house. And my brother and his girlfriend disappeared into one of the rooms, maybe her room. And then her sister came through, walking through, and I was like, whoa. And then she had some guy, so she went in her room. So they were in their room. My brother and sister was in the girl's room. And then we were just out on the couch watching some show. So I was like, all right, I just put on some show, and I found like something that was sexy.
Wait, what was it?
Sexy. And then we made out for a little bit. And then I was like, let's have sex. Or I don't know if I said that. I was just like, eh.
I went from let's have sex to eh. I promise you my communication skills have gotten better.
And she's like, are you sure you want to do this? And I was like, oh my God, I'm 14. What if I die a virgin? I better do this. And so I was like, yeah. Woke up with regrets. Well, I don't know if I woke up with it. It's very short. And then I was kind of like turn my back, and we had these like two couches together. And then I woke up, and my brother's like, whoa, so you did that? And I was like, oh, leave me alone, I gotta go. And all I wanted to do was leave. And I think we had like breakfast in the morning, and I was just like feeling shame, guilt, and everything. It was not great. And that look of pity or whatever is on your face.
What I'm wondering is, why did you feel shame or guilt? Do you know now?
It just felt like, I mean, the shock. I don't know. I didn't feel like connected to that person. And in that way, and I didn't feel like this was a pathway to anything. And I just felt like I wanted to withdraw. And yeah, there was no intimacy prior, really. I was just kind of like, this might be my time.
My time to have sex.
I might die any day.
Before I die.
I thought that.
Who Who knows? Maybe it even stopped me from dying.
Did you feel like she had any kind of expectation after?
Maybe if I didn't have sex at that moment, I would have died.
The next morning.
I don't know that she felt expectation.
All for the best, I guess.
I felt, I had guilt for like not wanting to be there anymore. I had guilt for wanting to disappear and not knowing how to relate to her. And I felt shame that my brother knew immediately. And so, in a way, I don't know, I felt like letting everyone down or something. Or
I'm literally picturing the last, like, high school scene in a movie. Like, just the house of whatever that setting was. And, like, movie high school scenario of, like, people in different rooms. The couch. Like, the physical space of what you just described is just like a movie set.
Cool.
Yeah. My butt's getting sore on here.
All right, well, answer the same question. Or do you want
the same question?
Well, do I have to think of a new one?
Yeah.
I love that
question. If we were together for years into the future, what would you want to ask me now?
Any regrets? No. I'll ask you, what's your great hope for the world?
World peace, duh! Literally, it's just that the more we are ourselves and the more honest we are, then that changes the world.
I think that's how it ends.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Check the microphone.
Well, this has been a very challenging episode. I hope you will continue to listen, like, and subscribe. There is this feeling of vulnerability doing this, being a little bit exposed, talking with people I care about and making sure they're taken care of, but also that we get a chance to be real with you. Please follow the show, share it with the show, and if you have feedback for me, not really notes, you know, but just like what you want to hear more of, email me at theyjustkeeptalking@gmail.com. That's the current email. That's the current email. Okay.
You remember when we started this conversation, I said, what do you want to talk about? And you said sex?
Yeah, okay, but it didn't have to be about us.
Very soon, you cannot hide, and that is confronting.
We had, like, breakfast in the morning.
I think that's how it ends.